today on Life Talk.
Jesus understood the wickedness of the human heart apart from the grace of God. So there's no way in this parable he would have said this person had a noble and a good heart unless this person had experienced a heart transformation after hearing and understanding the gospel and coming to Christ and calling on him and being saved and being changed and born again.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it right from our website, lifetalkradio.us. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about the message here on Life Talk.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Life Talk Radio broadcast. We're going to begin a brand new series today that I'm excited about. It's based on some of the things Jesus taught in parables about the kingdom of heaven. One of the Lord's repeated themes was to talk about what exactly the kingdom of heaven is like, how it operates, and how it's recognized. So in the next few days, we're going to explore the parable of the sower, the parable of the wheat and tares, and the parable of the mustard seed. I pray this brand new study opens our eyes with new insights and really blesses us with fresh understanding regarding the kingdom of heaven, of which all Christians are a part. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share part two of the message, The Man That Made It, from our brand new series entitled, The Kingdom of Heaven.
In Matthew 13, what we're about to look at, Jesus gave eight parables. And Matthew 13 is sort of the hinge upon which the rest of the New Testament swings. That is, after giving these eight parables, Jesus starts heading to Jerusalem and heading to the cross. So Matthew 13 is pivotal. He gives eight parables, four from a boat and four from a house. Now, I want to start with the first parable, and I'm dealing with only this today. The first parable among the eight. And it's called the parable of the sower, but I'm going to call it the man that made it. Because out of four people that receive the seed, only one is successful. Like, yikes. Now, he told us about the other three, so we would not be like them. But we would be like the last one that fell on good ground. How many of you want to be good soil and bring forth fruit? All right? So let's read Matthew 13, starting at verse 3. He begins his parables. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell among the path, and the birds came, and they ate it up. Then some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was what? Verse 6, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they didn't have any root. Verse 7, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And now verse 8, we come to the fourth person that hears the word. Still other seed fell on good soil. We want this to be you and me. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Different people produce different levels of fruit, but at least this fourth one was fruitful. Amen? And so today, I'm going to share this message in hopes that every last one of us will be in the fourth group, and we will bring forth fruit, and our fruit will remain. We have four people who hear exactly the same message. Four people hear the same thing, and what they hear primarily is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what they hear. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the seed that is sown in the hearts of men and women. That's the gospel. When you heard the gospel, it was a seed sown into your heart. And you had a response, either receive it or reject it. And I'm assuming most everybody in here accepted it. And the seed went down into the soil of your heart and it bore fruit. Amen. And so the soil the seed is sown into is the heart. It's the heart of men and women. When we hear the gospel, we don't just hear it in our head, but it reaches down and it goes into our heart, and it's sown into our heart, because Jesus is about to give us four different kinds of soil, or four different types of hearts, and what they do with the word of God. Now, the sower in the parable is Jesus Christ. And of course, once he ascended and went back to heaven, he turned sowing over to us. And now we sow the gospel. Right now, I'm sowing the word of God into your heart, and it's going to have an effect. It's either going to be accepted or rejected, responded to or not, obeyed or not. But it's a seed, supernatural seed. Peter said, we've been born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. Now, he shared this from a boat, and when the disciples got him alone, they said, man, explain this to us. We don't get it. And so in a house, privately, Jesus said, all right, I'll explain the parable to you. So let's begin with the first man. Jesus said, here's the meaning. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means, said Jesus. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, now watch that word, because that's this first listener's problem. He doesn't understand the claims of the gospel. He's hung up not understanding it. We're going to find when we get to the fourth man, the very first thing that's said about the guy with the good soil is he understood what he heard. You find in the Bible that understanding the word and a hard heart go together. If you don't understand it, your heart is hard. If you understand it, your heart gets softened. So he says, this man doesn't understand it. And the evil one comes. Look at the devil. He sees he doesn't understand it. And the evil one comes and steals away, snatches away what was sown in their heart. And this is the seed sown along the path. But now we come to the second man. And Jesus said the second man is like this. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to somebody who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. Now this one, he hears it and he receives it with joy. He didn't just, well, one ear and out the other. He says, wow, I like what I'm hearing. Whereas the first man was clueless, Jesus said, though he receives it with joy, since they have no root, they last only a short time. And when trouble, watch this, when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, what happens to them? They quickly fall away. And what was their problem? They had no roots. So first we have Mr. Clueless. Here we have Mr. Rootless. This man never put down roots because there were rocks in the soil. In other words, there were obstacles in his heart. Things were in his heart that got in the way of the seed of the word of God putting down roots. The rocks might have been unconfessed sin. Maybe he didn't confess sin that he knew he needed to get rid of, and it's a rock in his heart, and it's blocking the growth of the word of God and putting down the roots. It could be that he had some worldly attachments. Jesus said the soil of his heart was rocky. Something was in the way. Things were stopping the roots from going down. And I know what that's like. You can get an attachment you shouldn't have. You can have something unconfessed that you know you need to get rid of. And until you do, you really can't grow spiritually. And so Jesus is pointing out here about Mr. Rootless. He's saying his problem was rocky soil. He doesn't tell us what it was. It could have been some idol in his life. Something, the bottom line is this. Jesus was not on the throne of this man's heart. So the seed of the word of God could not put down roots. You know, a tree can be stately and beautiful and majestic and look incredible. But when a storm comes, all that really matters with that tree is not the way that it looks, but how deep are its roots? Because when that wind begins to blow and the floods hit against that tree and the rain begins to fall and trouble comes and you lose that job or you get a bad doctor's report or somebody walks out on you and the winds of trial blow, then it's how deep are your roots? Jesus said, because he has no roots, when the storms come, they blow him over. He's uprooted and he quickly falls away. So you've got Mr. Clueless, you got Mr. Rootless, but now we come to the third man. Jesus said, the seed falling among the thorns refers to somebody who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Choke the word. This man receives it. This man starts to grow, but there's something growing up right alongside his spiritual growth, and it is a thorn bush. And I just picture the way Jesus described this, because the word choke is the word we would talk about choking somebody. So here's this thorn bush, these thorns, and as this man is trying to grow, they are literally grabbing his spiritual growth by the throat and choking the life out of his spiritual walk so that he's not bringing forth any fruit. Clueless, rootless, fruitless. Jesus is giving us these three different people so that we will look at them and learn from them and not do what they did. This man hears the word of the gospel, whereas the first one didn't understand it, and the second one had no roots. This one is constantly distracted by worries and chasing after money. Now, I saw something this week. As a matter of fact, Matthew 13 is the first message I ever preached in my life. First time I went to preach, it was on Matthew 13, the parable of the sower, way back. But I saw something this week I've never seen, what this man's problem really was. His problem was he was still clinging to a worldly value system. Because it says he's constantly worried about this, that, and the other. So that tells me he's not in prayer and he's got his life all messed up in things that are causing him to lose sleep. He's making decisions. They are monetary in nature primarily because we're told that he's chasing after riches. He's all about money. He's chasing after worldly things. He wants that new car, new house, new raise, new job, new location. He wants the status. The values of the kingdom are not his. He's received the king of the kingdom, but not the values of the king of the kingdom.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. First, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry, you can find the full program at our website, lifetalkradio.us, along with all the programs. Lastly, we get emails and calls every week from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we want to hear from you too, so let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111, or you can email us through our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us or call 877-884-3111. And now, let's go ahead and get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Can I tell you today, church, how crucial it is? Oh, hear me on this one. That when we get saved, we ought to undergo immediately the renewing of our mind. And when the renewing of the mind happens, that means you are giving up worldly values for kingdom values. Worldly values for kingdom values. This man has the king of the kingdom, but not the values of the kingdom. And I've seen people like this a lot. We get saved, we get our fire insurance, we know we're going to heaven when Jesus comes, but we never allow the word of God to renovate and renew and change and transform our values. Values of the kingdom like this, putting Jesus first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Jesus demands being first. If you love father, mother, whatever, more than me, you're not worthy of me. I want to be first on the throne of your life. I want to be first on the throne of your heart. Christianity doesn't work if Jesus is not on the throne. It's true. See, a car only works if you put the key in and turn it. Christianity only works if you put Jesus on the throne of your life. Otherwise, Christianity is a burden and a hassle and a bummer because you're trying to carry the demands of the kingdom all by yourself. But when Jesus is on the throne of your life and you're picking up your cross and following him and seeking him and he's numero uno and you are in love with him and nobody and no thing is above him in your life, then you are postured for a blessing. But this wasn't his value. His value was chasing stuff. Not being materialistic, that's a value of the kingdom. The importance of spiritual growth, that's a kingdom value. God's will for all of us primarily is that we grow into the fullness of the stature of Christ. And that's a kingdom value. For this guy, it's all about what you own, your status in life, the way others perceive you, who you are, what block you live on, what you're driving. While Jesus' value system says, put the kingdom of God first, this man's value system said, put yourself first. You know, number one, that's the culture we live in. Who's number one in your life? Me, myself, I am. I look in the mirror and I sing, there is none like you. I'm number one. I take care of number one first. I put number one first above all others. But Jesus said, no, put me first. Put the kingdom first. That's the kingdom value. Jesus said, life is not defined by what you have. Luke 12:15. Life is not defined by what you have. But this man's value system said, I am measured by what I own. I am what I own. I am what I possess. The measure of my life is what I possess. And that's a worldly value system because you are not what you possess. You are what you are in the kingdom of God. And you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a called out people. You are not what you own. You are who you are in the kingdom of God. You are what you are by the grace of God. I know people have been in Christ 20 years, 30 years, and it's still all about what I own, what I'm chasing, what I have, what I live in, what I drive. But you know what? Success is not dying with a big bank account. Success, even if you die in a little shack on the other side of the world, if you were doing the will of God for your life, you were a success. Mr. Fruitless is the person who says, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. Oh yeah, you got it, I'm saved. I'm an American and I love mom and apple pie too. I'll just have to take care of the spiritual side of life later. That's Mr. Fruitless. So clueless, rootless, fruitless. Three failures right in a row. But then comes the one who made it. I'm calling this message the man that made it because we want to learn from the man that made it. Amen? We want to learn from the one that made it. How many of you want to make it? I want to bear fruit because he's the only one of the four that succeeded in the Christian walk. And so what can we learn from him? Jesus said, but the seed falling on good soil refers to somebody who hears the word, and here's that word, he understands it. First one didn't understand it. This one understood it. And Matthew points that out first. This is the one that produces a crop, 160, 30 times what was sown. Now, if you skip over to Luke's account of this parable, he adds a couple of things that Matthew doesn't. He said that this man that made it bears fruit with patience and an honest and good heart. So this man had three things that made him successful. He understood what he heard. He had a good heart, and I'm going to talk about that, how he got it. And he had perseverance. He understood, he had a good heart, and he persevered. Now, let me just unpack those real quickly. One, unlike the first man, Mr. Clueless, Mr. Success here understood what he heard. He understood the claims of the gospel. Like this, I am the resurrection. He listened to what Jesus said and he gave it deep thought. He listened to the claims of Christ and he didn't say, well, that's great, and in one ear and out the other. That's what Mr. Clueless did. But Mr. Success, Mr. Fruitful here, listened, and he said, this deserves thought. He heard things like this, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Anybody who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Well, that's worth some thought. So he began to turn the words over in his mind. Other words, Jesus, God so loved the world. Jesus is the one that spoke John 3:16. And Jesus talking about himself. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, me, that whoever believes on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. He didn't just hear that and say, well, that's neat, that's poetic, that's cool, you know. But no, he thought about it, He turned it over in his head. He gave it some consideration. He pondered it. He meditated on it. And as he continued to think about what Jesus said, he came to some conclusions. Oh, wow, I'm in sin. I need to repent. And if I don't repent, my sin is not going to be forgiven. And Jesus is the Savior that came to die for the sins of the world. So I'm going to respond to what I've heard. So this final man, the man that made it, hears the claims, and he says, this requires a response. And so he responds, Jesus, forgive me. I repent of my sin. Come into my heart as Savior and Lord. And that leads to the second thing he had. When he did that, he was born again. And when he was born again, he got a new heart. The Bible says the seed on good soil stands for those who with a noble and good heart produce a crop. Now, I'm going to tell you for sure, Jesus would never say that somebody had a noble and a good heart unless that heart had been transformed by the power of God. Because Jesus knew the heart. The Bible says he knew the heart of all men. He knew the heart. He said, out of the heart comes all manner of evil. We all have heart disease spiritually, and we all need a heart transplant spiritually. And Jesus understood the wickedness of the human heart apart from the grace of God. So there's no way in this parable he would have said this person had a noble and a good heart unless this person had experienced a heart transformation after hearing and understanding the gospel and coming to Christ and calling on him and being saved and being changed and born again. So he had a supernatural heart change. You know, nobody can change your heart or mine but God. Only God can change the heart. Only God can give us a brand new nature. But I got good news for you. If any man be in Christ, he's a brand new creation. The old has passed away, and all, everybody say all, is become new. And that includes your heart and mine. We had an old, wicked, sinning heart before. But when we said, Jesus, come into my heart, then the Bible says he came into my heart and gave me a brand new nature. And that's how you get that noble and good heart that produces fruit. Amen. God's promise for those who receive Jesus is, I will give you a new spirit. I will take from you your hearts of stone and give you tender hearts of love for God. Isn't that beautiful? So this man heard the gospel. He understood the claims. He repented based on having thought it through. He turned to Christ. He was born again. He got a brand new heart. And that finally leads to the last thing that made this man fruitful. He persevered. He persevered. It says in Luke, he bears fruit with patient perseverance. He kept on keeping on no matter what life threw at him. When people turned on him, he took them to God and said, Lord, I forgive them as you forgive them. And he kept on going. When he lost his job, he trusted the Lord with all of his heart and didn't lean to his own understanding. And he kept on going. When he ran into temptation, he said, Lord, you are greater than this temptation. I'm not going to give in to it. I walk with you. I submit to you. And he kept on going. When he ran into setbacks and pushbacks and all kinds of trouble in life, he said, that doesn't matter to me because I've made up my mind when I put my hand to the plow, I will not let go and look back. I don't put up a white flag. I don't quit. I have not joined myself to a quitter, and so I don't quit. I follow the Savior who never quit. And so I'm going to keep on keeping on until I go to glory. I'm going to persevere. This man persevered. He had a dogged determination to keep on going no matter what life threw at him. When he had little offenses come his way, he just forgave and kept on going. He wasn't wearing a chip on his shoulder. He wasn't walking around carrying grudges. He said, anything that gets in my way, he's on the throne of my heart, and I'm just going to say no to it and yes to him, and I'm going to keep on going. And because of his perseverance, he bore fruit. He bore fruit.
Thanks for tuning in today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. 877-884-3111. 844-3111. You can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Also, did you know that Life Talk is on hundreds of stations all across the country? You may have family or friends who would love to know how they could listen to the program as well. There's a comprehensive station list at our website where they can see how to find the program in their area. Finally, Life Talk is a daily program, but also has daily cost. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before, or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these timely messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. So thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Life Talk.